Ralph's getting up there with his donut. Ralph's up there with his donut. Breakfast time's over. Everybody likes parfaits. You got to be more assertive, Ralph. There you go. He is. It's just not. It's,
Words of encouragement that we gave him, but God is so, so good. We probably saved his life. And we gave him our information and our schedule and where to find us and all that. So I trust we'll be seeing him here at some point in time. But yeah, God is so good. You just never know what you're going to see. And you never know why. Let me find a correct way to phrase this. I started going to Agape now only a couple months ago without even having a clue why I was doing it. When something like that occurs, then you really know why you're there. Things may not happen all the time. But there are folks out there that are really dealing with these dark spiritual forces. And that's where we come in. That's our job as born again ones. This part of the time in our walk with God is to come face to face with these dark spiritual forces. Because yeah, we like to kind of focus on the more joyous things in life, but there are times where you're going to come basically face to face with the enemy. But as I mentioned before, we got that wonderful, powerful name of Jesus Christ. And within that name, great things happen. Bless your hearts. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as just a small part of the body of Christ. We're thankful to be in this position, Father. Because if not, who knows where any of us would be. But right now, I'm going to lift up to you each heart here this morning on Facebook Live and all the other mediums that people will be hearing this morning, Father. Pray that we're just exhorted, built up, comforted, Father. Because your word has a tendency to do that. But in the meantime, Father, while we're waiting for our Lord and Savior, your Son, to come take us home, we ask that you continue to give us strength and wisdom and peace that passes all understanding. Pray for these things in that powerful, most incredible name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Microphone, Ralph.
Oh, the guy. The gal that plays the bagpipes. That's whatever.
Oh.
that love it. And then he sings the outro also. It's pretty incredible. Anyway, we got any more announcements? I know the Segovias and the Fellowship at their house tomorrow night at 7:30. That right? And Bob, you're going to be Wednesday at your house, and also Sunday.
Yeah, next Sunday it's our house.
Okay.
Sign up for refreshments.
Okay, y'all sign up for refreshments. Hear that? Or get the wrath of Gene.
See that?
Okay, let's see. And later on in November, we're going to have kind of a sing-along night or afternoon, whatever we have. And hopefully we can get Joe to be feeling like joining in with us. And we're just going to do a bunch of sing-along songs and everything, nothing new. Okay? So I was thinking about what Daniel just talked about. The fact that he says, you're looking to have a devil spirit. Now, that would probably scare people to death, but we're so privileged to know the rightly divided word and everything. We know how to deal with stuff like that and everything. It's because one thing I heard the other day, that one thing that God left out of the Bible was our opinion.
So
it all goes back to his rightly divided word, which we have. It says in first or second Peter 1:20, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Enough said. That's what it is. So let's hear from our Heavenly Father right now. Daniel, why don't you just speak in those terms for us?
När jag kisjonta börjar kabunda kasinte kavirosonta, när jag sjunta karia kabunda lägga sinte, när jag kisjonta börjar kasinte kavirosonto, när kisjonta börjar kasinte kavirosonto börjar kasinte kavirosonto. Walk forth with great courage, my children, because you shine so bright in this world with that spirit of Christ within you. So as you go about your days, as you walk forth in this life, keep your eyes affixed on me. Stand boldly upon the scriptures. My promises always come to pass, my children. You will see me at work in your lives all around. So once again, my children, walk forth with great courage and confidence, because you are more than conquerors.
Olosen efiniti akihoto, ishan para pura santare, isentero kuroso veniti etriakia, analogo santo eretero. My children, you are my saints, you are my lights, you are my word in the flesh, for I have given you my son Jesus Christ, so that you can have my spirit within you, you can have my wisdom, my knowledge. You can confront the darkness of the world with the light of my word that I have given you. So walk powerfully and boldly, knowing that I am within you and with you.
Since you have a microphone, why don't you have a word of prophecy?
My little ones, I have joy in my heart when I see you together to walk with my word. Please, my little ones, just walk with me. Take time to read my word, because I want to be with you every time. I'm with you all the time in every step you do. Have joy in your heart, because I love you so much, and I sent my son Jesus Christ to die for you. Don't forget that. I love you, my little ones.
Thank you. Bob, word of thanks.
Father, we are in awe of your love and care for us. You continue to remind us via these manifestations. You continue to remind us as we get into your word. So we are so, so grateful to be in your family, to have time like this that we can hear from you, that we can get into the word, that we can love on each other with the love that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, sir. You guys want to roll on the next song? This is called Good to Be Alive by Jason Gray.
Good to be alive.
on earth. You'd only weigh 38 kilos on Mars. So the logical conclusion to that is, we're not overweight, we're just on the wrong planet.
It means it's muted.
Started in the Old Testament and it goes all the way, all the way through Revelations, those who are called out by God, those who are believers. So this morning, I want you to see what we're capable of. And I want us to see the greatness of what God has done in us by calling us his peculiar people. So the first thing we're going to do is go to Exodus 19:5. This is the first occurrence where God calls his people peculiar. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. That's the first occurrence of him calling his people peculiar, set apart. And then, one of the last occurrences is in 1 Peter 2:9. And I really want you to see yourself in this, because this is addressed to us in our administration. And it says, 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous life. That's us. That's each and every one of us, peculiar people. You know, I'd like to look at some examples from the Bible of what it means to be a peculiar person. And you'll notice in these examples that these people have some obstacles overcome, but that doesn't matter to God. And you know, it reminds me, as you look at these, I love what Ken Petty said. He said, God delights in making the unqualified qualified. So you're going to see that in these examples. The first person we're going to look at is Moses in Exodus chapter 4. Now let me give you a little bit of background of the context in this particular place. So Moses left Egypt. In fact, he fled from Egypt. And he ended up in Midian, and he ended up tending the sheep of his father-in-law. And he did that for the space of about 40 years. And when he was in one of the back furthest parts of the desert in Midian, God spoke to him through a burning bush. One of his angels spoke to him and told him, I want to deliver, and I want you to go and deliver my people from Egypt, for I've heard their cry. And he tells them all these exploits that he's going to do. And Moses is like, you know, how are they going to believe me? I mean, really, how are they going to realize that you're the one that sent me? So God shows them some ways, some miracles that would convince him. The first one is he tells him to take his rod, his staff, he's a shepherd, and throw it down on the ground. And when Moses does, it becomes a serpent. And then, yeah, that kind of freaked him out. But then he said, pick it up by the tail. So he did, and it turned back into his rod. So he said, that's one thing you can show him. Another thing is, put your hand in your bosom. So he did, and when he pulled it out, he had leprosy on his hand. God said, put it back in your bosom. And when he did and pulled it out, it was clean and whole again. So he said, those two should do it. Right there, that should do it. But if that doesn't work, I want you to take water from the river, and I want you to pour it on the dry ground. And when you do, it will turn into blood. So Moses is hearing all of this, all that God wants him to do with these miracles that he was going to perform. Let's look at verse 10. We're going to read this together. And after this, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He had a problem there, and it affected his confidence. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. So, sounds like God had it all thought through and prepared, right? And Moses said, Oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be yet glad in his heart. So here's how I see this. God knew that Moses had a little problem, right? But he was willing to fix it. He was able to fix it. But you know what? Moses couldn't believe for that. So you know what God did? He met him right where Moses was at in his believing. He met him right there, and not only that, he had something prepared for Moses to help him. That's what God does for us. He meets us right where we're at. He ministers to us, and then he starts building us. He starts encouraging us. And that's exactly what he did with Moses. And then it says, he said that, you know, your brother is going to be glad to see you. In verse 15, and thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. So this was the beginning of Moses' ministry. And God continues working with him, continues building him up and encouraging him, to the point in Exodus 33, chapter 33, verse 11, it says about Moses and his relationship. It says, And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. That's the kind of relationship he developed. As a man speaketh unto his friend. I just think that's really sweet, how God was met him there and just kept building him up. And he did these, I mean, we know the story, right? All the marvelous miracles he did to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. So this is just one example. How about King David? You know, it didn't matter to God that David was a young man. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. So at this point, just to give you some background, Saul was the king of Israel, but he blew it. He put something before God, and he hardened his heart toward God, and God was not able to work with him. His heart was not right. So he said, we're going to have to pick a new king. And he tells Samuel, I want you to prepare a sacrifice, and I want you to invite Jesse and his boys, his sons. By the way, Jesse had 8 sons and 2 daughters. He had quite a large family. And in verse 5, it says, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, that was the oldest son. I mean, he was older, he was experienced, he lived a little bit of life, he was handsome, he was tall. Surely he's the guy that God wants, right? He says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look, not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. And for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's what he was looking for. He was looking for somebody with heart. He was looking for somebody with the character that was needed to be the future king of Israel. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He's going down the line here of his sons. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen on this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. None of these sons of yours are what God wants, what he's looking for. Again, he's looking at the heart. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, but he's out tending the sheep. That's his responsibility as the youngest. He's doing his job, so he's busy. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send confession, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. That day he received Holy Spirit to enable him to grow and become the man, the king of Israel. And, you know, it's really beautiful because in Acts 13:22, I'll go ahead and read this. It says, this is after it's all said and done about David and his life. It says, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. It was through that young boy growing up, God working with him, that Christ line came. So that's amazing how God worked in his life. How about Peter and Andrew from the Gospels, Matthew 4:18-20? They were just fishermen. They were unlearned. They were not well educated. They worked hard as fishermen. And yet it says in verse 18, this is when Jesus started his ministry. And it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. That was their profession. And he said unto them, follow me, for I will make you fishers of men. These unlearned men, uneducated, he made them fishers of men. He made them two of the 12 apostles. I mean, that's just amazing. How about Paul? Let's turn to Acts 9. In Acts 9, in verse 1, it says, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, the followers of Jesus Christ, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, Paul was a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a murderer. He dragged those people out of their homes, and, you know, it cost them their lives to worship God and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, in Ephesians, it says, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Do you see what God did with him? Through that space of time, he was converted on the road to Damascus. And how about that simple believer that was called to minister to Paul? Ananias. Well, guess what? He wasn't a simple. He was not a simple disciple. And none of us are simple before God. Just because these other men did great miracles and, you know, stood before kings and was even a king, they are no greater or no less than we are. We are all peculiar people of God. We all have that Christ in us, and it is Christ in us, God working with us, that where we see our full potential as believers. You know, I was going to teach something else this morning. Something totally different. I had it all prepared.
Wow.
And through the week, God has been working this on my heart. And I kept going, Father, you know, should I teach this other teaching that I have prepared? Or should I teach what's on my heart here, you know? And it's interesting. I get an email every week from Allison Moynihan. She's a believer from England. She's a wonderful believer. Each week, she sends out words of encouragement. That's the best way I can say it. And her little email is under the title, A Flame of Truth, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I opened up the Flame of Truth for this last week. And what she said in her message was confirmation to me that I should share this. So I'm going to read it to you. Nothing that God created is ordinary. Jesus pointed to the lilies as examples of superb beauty. Luke 12:27. Consider the lilies how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. There are billions of people on the planet, yet there are no two people who have the same identical fingerprints.
Mm.
Our God is a creator, not a duplicator. Mm-hmm. Life is a gift of God's grace, and each person is very special to God. The shepherd with 100 sheep searches for the one gone astray. The boy David, the young outsider in Jacob's warrior family, was chosen to be anointed as the future king. Christianity cries out to those who are unwanted. God plants qualities in his men and women of faith, which soon become admired everywhere. It is common practice, for believers to perform beyond their natural capacity. Little people take on stature by faith in Christ. They have zest, a grip on life, and tackle difficulties with determination and confidence. Jesus said to the unlearned fishermen on Galilee, I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. They switched direction and moved to higher ground. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. The good news, we can all be faith people. Faith is so vital, and God intends nobody to be faithless. The road to faith is wide open. Go for it. That was her message. So, what is God saying to your heart today? What can you do working with Him? Where can you give? And where can you share His love? See, this is God's challenge to us today. So let's rise up to take that challenge. And let's say, Lord, here am I. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Just truly how precious you are, and that you don't have hands but are hands to spread and to give the bread of life. So we thank you for that privilege. We take it on, Father. We stand with you. We look forward to you working in our lives. For these things, we truly are thankful in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
But I forgot at first to thank everybody for tuning in to Facebook or whatever the conference call is for. Just Facebook. So, as we used to say back in North Carolina, y'all come back and see us now.